Welcome Captain Mark Smith to our pulpit today as we remember Four Chaplains Sunday and celebrate the ministry of Presbyterian chaplains, including our beloved Reverend John Thompson. Captain Smith recently retired after 30 years as a U.S. Navy captain and chaplain in numerous capacities, such as on board ship, on the ground in Iraq, and as the commanding officer of the Navy Chaplaincy School and Center. He now serves as co-director of Presbyterian Federal Chaplaincies, one of the important missions that we support here at South Plains. We are honored to have you with us, Captain Smith.
Thank you. Okay, let's get honest. This is a weird passage, isn't it? I mean, we've heard it so many times, it's so important that in our Bibles, it's got a little bold headline called The Transfiguration. Okay, so we accept it. But it's weird. What a weird occurrence. They go to a mountaintop for the view, to be inspired, to witness something. Of course, Jesus does have a history of taking them away to rest after various ministries. But this time, it's to watch Jesus change. Why? And why the ghost of prophet past and the great lawgiver? And so stunned, Peter tries to make quick sense of it. He didn't know what to say, but he tried. And then the clarification provided to Peter was itself stunning. It becomes an encounter worth reporting. But Jesus told them not to tell. So the passage begins, so 6 days after. Well, that's 6 days after this last difficult discussion about Jesus' need to die and how Peter didn't want to accept it, the disciples didn't know how to face it. So after that discussion and Peter's rebuke, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John, leads them up a high mountain, apart, by themselves. And Jesus was transfigured before them. His clothes became brighter than any cleaner could bleach them. Remember how Moses' face used to shine after he had spoken with God in the Holy of Holies? And Paul said that then he would have to later veil his face so that people would not see that he could not contain God's glory and it was fading. And sure enough, in this apparition on the mountain, there's Moses, the great, great lawgiver of God. He appears there as well as the greatest and the first of the prophets, Elijah. And they talk with Jesus. Now, come on, that's a pretty stunning sight. Maybe you remember the Star Wars movie where Luke gets the confirmation by seeing in the sky the Yoda and the Anakin and Obi-Wan who have gone before him and give him, well, it's that dramatic. I mean, it's an incredible thing to think of these people standing together. And so Peter says, this is great. Let's build tabernacles to enshrine the three of you. And then to top it off, a voice from heaven says, this is my son, the beloved. Listen to him. Listen to his hard message. And Jesus says, to keep it to yourselves until I rise from the dead. This mountaintop experience is also a crossroads experience. Jesus is choosing the way of the cross. He's getting ready to go to Jerusalem to face crucifixion. He's just told the disciples that their enthusiasm to follow him will have to be like facing a cross themselves. Even before that, the 12 had been sent out to minister, and they had returned with their reports of success. And then miracles have been performed before large crowds, 5,000, 4,000. But Jesus also then predicts his own death. And that too was something hard to swallow. So now Jesus exposes them to an experience both dramatic and mysterious, and certainly more confirming than most of us get. I mean, how many times have we said, hey, God, give me a sign, an open door, an answer to prayer, an open parking space, or a fortuitous phone call? Or why don't you just transform into a heavenly being with two others from my deeply treasured Holy Scriptures? We don't really know what to make of this. Would we know what to say any more than Peter did? Sure, we have our iPhones and we could snap a picture, but would we know what to say? One of our Presbyterian chaplains serving with the National Guard had the opportunity to speak to her troops about to go provide protection during some of the civil unrest our country has seen this past year. What do you say to those troops? How do you bring sense to the fresh madness of heightened polarization when there are real issues that need to be dealt with? My second deployment in the Navy, and thank you for the Navy hymn sung earlier, was on a ship supporting Desert Shield, Desert Storm, the first Gulf War. We spent 5 months at sea facing the possibility of war. How do you prepare? My worship services grew in numbers, finally growing to exceed the usual worship space we used on the ship when the captain got on the speaker system, the one MC, and said, we should go to church. We're about to go to war. What do you say? What do you say? When I first started counseling as a young pastor, often with people much older than I was, the thing that kept me aligned with my purpose was to say a prayer. That was always a prayer that sounded something like, Lord, I have no idea what to do in this situation. Please give me the wisdom to be your messenger of peace, comfort, and wisdom in this time to your glory and not mine. And that prayer serves to this day. It brings me peace and enables me to be a bearer of peace to others. But one of the advantages we chaplains have is the fact that we live with those to whom we minister. We work with them every day. I was in their workspaces. I was in their social gatherings. I knew the language they spoke, the words they used, the equipment they worked with. I knew what they were going through. It made it easier for them to trust me and for the message I brought to speak to their lives. Chaplains go with the people to whom they minister. They connect. Now, I saw 2 weeks ago how you connect with each other, how you know each other and you care for each other, as well as each other's extended connections. That's a part of what you say when the people you relate to experience the dramatic or the painful, the unexplainable. So listen, we've started a list. Pray, connect, but also experience. Chaplains gain a familiarity with the hard to explain or the hard to understand. We actually receive training in traumatic events and traumatic reactions. We are used to sitting with those in pain. That experience comes through when we step into painful situations and gives us something to say. You have that too. You know when to offer your experience to someone who suffers. But that also leads, though, to the fourth thing to say, and it's actually listen. Pray, connect, share experience, and listen. very often the real answer is to listen. To listen first. To ask questions about the experience. To understand what the person is asking for or needs. But you listen with that prayer and that connection and that experience. And even if you don't have the last, the experience, the prayer covers that too. Lord, I have no idea what to do in this situation. Please give me the wisdom to be your messenger of peace, comfort, and wisdom in this time to your glory and not mine. Peter might have benefited from a pause, not something he was used to doing. He had just been alluded to as a Satan who needed to get behind Jesus for answering too quickly or not counting the cost. But in this moment, he was getting what he needed to support the actual journey on which they were about to embark. It would be more difficult and less glorified than they expected. But the prophets and the law and the God of all creation would be with them. Sometimes, in the midst of difficult times, that can be hard to see. This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him. Please pray for those who go in harm's way. Please pray for those who go with them, the chaplains, and ask the Lord to prepare good ministers of word and sacrament to be those chaplains, to go with those who serve our country. When the disciples weren't sure how to respond to the dramatic moment, and Jesus told them the road ahead would be hard, he also showed them they have the God of all creation with them, around them, and for all eternity. And it's now okay to say to everyone what you've seen and experienced, because the Son of Man has risen from the dead. Alleluia. Amen.
Thank you, Chaplain Smith. We appreciate very much your words and the